Okay, the reading today is James 1, 19 to 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So I'm just going to say just a few words to follow on from last Sunday when we had the forum and we had the vision presented to you. And when I was preparing for the forum last week, what struck me most about the vision was the order in which our mission statements were written. And I can't remember that we actually decided to do that, but maybe we did. But they came out in such a good order. And at the top, we have the most important one, that all teaching is faithful to the Bible and is centred on Christ. Now, you might have noticed that I've put some Bibles on the tables today. I don't know that anyone's actually touched them, which is fine. But it just struck me that those Bibles are rarely taken out of that cupboard anymore. We do sometimes on a Friday morning get them out. And I know some of you bring your own Bibles. The danger is we use our phones now for our readings a lot. I know I do. And you don't use your Bibles as much, so you get unused to finding where the books are in the Bible. And if you haven't been sort of brought up in that way, you don't know where to find things. So you read a passage or a reference, but to actually find it in the Bible is not easy. So I just think, you know, it's just a reminder, really, that the Bible is there and for us to pick up and to use.
And I have one for the reading at Coffee and Chat on Wednesday.
You do, that's right. You do, Christian, you do. That's right. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." In many churches, so we're told, a modern culture often gets in the way of faithful Bible teaching. So some preachers or vicars, pastors, whatever you wish to call them, they want to be liked and to be popular, and that can sometimes steer them away from the Bible, and it results in rather watered-down scripture and careful selection of passages of scripture just to justify what they're preaching. But the life of the Bible, the people who were alive, about whom the Bible was written, was very different to our lives today. But it doesn't mean that we have to discard the Bible teaching to suit our needs and our culture. Jesus Christ should and must remain at the centre of all that is taught and preached in this church. And it's imperative that when someone different is asked to preach here or wants to teach us in any way, that they follow this vital statement. So our second statement on our vision reflects our desire and need for regular prayer. Now, we hope that each person in this church has a regular prayer pattern of their own. Maybe it's a time in the morning when they spend with the Lord praying for family, friends, church, community, world issues, do their daily reading, whatever it is that suits you. And if you don't, then please consider setting aside a time when you can be quiet and prayerful. And for most of us, that's a really important time, and it sort of sets you up for your day. But we also recognise the need for corporate prayer, times when we can come and pray together. And we have prayers, of course, on our Sunday services, and our Friday morning prayer meetings provide an opportunity for that. And these prayer meetings have become more and more spirit-led as time has gone on. We've learnt how to, maybe a bit late in life, I don't know, but we've learnt how to not just follow a script, but, you know, to react to the needs that we feel that we have been given, put into our hearts. And Romans 8:26 reminds us of this. It says, "We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." In other words, ask the Spirit to lead, and you'll find that he will. So the next statement on our mission vision is relates to all of us here, and Jean's talked a little bit about this. So many of us have been attending this church for many, many years, and in that time we've seen changes and gone through tough times and good times, but we've remained united and have continued to support each other in many ways. And there are many here who regularly look out for others within the church. And that's so important. When people are poorly, as we get older, it's important that we know that there are people there for us. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So I hope you can see that as we go through the mission and the vision, it's based on Scripture. We also want to support each person in their journey of faith, not just in their physical needs, but their spiritual needs. Encourage them to get to know Jesus better. When you come here on a Sunday, you probably come for a variety of reasons. Habit. I know, you know, if you get into a habit of doing something, it's easier to do that. Routine. Fellowship with friends over a coffee or a tea after the service. But more importantly, you come to learn more about Jesus and how to live a life that honours him. We want and need to encourage each other in this. Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up." And we've all got skills and abilities, whether we think we have or not. And some of us are using them already, and some of us could develop those through practice. And sometimes we might even try and do something we've never done before. And we can encourage each other to try things that perhaps are a little bit odd for us to do. You might even be able to volunteer to start a new initiative, though there's a challenge. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Now, the last three statements in the mission, in our vision and mission, go on, as Jean said, move from us, ourselves, out into the community around us. That doesn't always have to mean that we actually go out of the building, out of what many of us feel is our comfort zone, but being aware of how we can reach out and draw people in. And we've got ready-made opportunities to do this, as we've heard before. We're so fortunate to have the pantry, the parish nurse, and other avenues that we can explore. Chris and Don have discovered that they enjoy helping to set up the pantry every Tuesday. And Bev and Barbara are part of the group of volunteers who help the pantry members do their shopping. And I've discovered that I can get rid of a little bit of my guilt at actually not enjoying going out knocking on doors. I can get rid of a little bit of that guilt by being here on a Tuesday afternoon, a place where I feel comfortable, where I belong, and chatting to the people when they come in. Now, it sounds a little bit like a cop-out, but actually, you know, there is value in that, as well as going out and meeting people where they are there. when they come in, we can chat to them here. And a lot of the people who come to the pantry are lonely, but when they come here, they can chat to someone if they want to. And I never feel compelled to talk about the people at the pantry, about Jesus and the church, but I always look for openings to do so. So when we're in church, it's easy to be nice to each other most of the time. The challenge comes when we're out and about, doesn't it? Are we still careful about what we do and say? Do we act in a similar way towards the people we meet as we do to the people in our church? And then we come to the final statement. Our building's being used more and more all the time. And with that comes challenges. Things will get worn out quicker. There'll be more electricity, gas and water used, so our bills will go up a little bit. And we'll probably get more demands on our time and our energy. But the fruit that this will bear will be immeasurable if we're acting in accordance with God's will. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Let us pray. Father, we have a vision and a mission for our church. Help all of us here to take ownership of this vision, to make it ours, and to honour your name by being faithful to it and to you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. And I would invite now anyone who would like to pray.